The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew, the 18th chapter, starting with verse 21 through verse 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one brought unto him that was owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he did not have to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou hast owed. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not also thou have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Good morning. Good to be back. You don't even realize, but Shelly and I had gone to Texas for a couple days, and it was much colder there than it was here. It was very strange, so we didn't get to get any warmth when we went down there. So, matter of fact, we were going to an outdoor event, and they got moved indoors because it was just too cold. So, but as most of you, I think, have been here through most of these talks, I'm still continuing my service, my series of lessons, talking on togetherness, how we should be treating each other, and how we should be thinking as we have respect for each other and so forth. And we're going to be looking at another of those one another passages that are found throughout the New Testament. And I will go into this one saying, I don't know that this is one that we generally have an issue with, but it doesn't hurt for us to explore it. But generally, this isn't a shortcoming, I feel, of this group. Ephesians 4, verse 32 is where we're going to find our one another passage this morning and be the basis of our lesson. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This passage clearly and simply tells us that we are to forgive one another. There are many teachings telling us the need to forgive, which should tell us that God realized this would be a struggle for a lot of people. And so we're going to be looking at a lot of these verses, and that should help us get a better understanding of what it means to forgive. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 13, we'll begin there. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 reads, For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. From these passages, you will note that God always ties forgiveness in our lives to the forgiveness that he provides and that he continually performs. We are to forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you. As the Lord has forgiven you, you should be doing the same. You should be forgiving. It clearly tells us here in these passages that if we do not forgive others, when they sin against us or we have a trespass against us, then he will not hold that, you know, he will not forgive us of those as well. So I feel we need to go to a kind of a back to basics approach about understanding what forgiveness means. And Matthew chapter 6 verse 12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." At the core, the idea of forgiveness is the forgiveness of a debt or the releasing of a debt that has been incurred. We understand that in a financial world, that if a debt is forgiven, if a college loan is forgiven, then that debt is no longer owed. If your house loan, we could all hope, would be forgiven, then we no longer owe that payment. And so what God teaches us is that sin really is the incurring of a debt. And if we look at the parable that Jim read for us this morning, Peter is asked how often he should forgive his brother, and as he continually sins against him. But the illustration, the parable that Jesus uses to talk about this, is an illustration of debt. The teaching is simple, but it's an impactful one. We can take a lot from it. If you try to get out of others what you perceive they owe you because of what they've done against you, then God will get out of you what you owe him for your sins. We've all incurred these debts, and we've incurred them against each other. And so the greatest debt, though, that we have incurred is the one when we sin, and that we incur that against God, who we continually fall short in that. But the operation of forgiveness is this. We have to see how much God has forgiven our debts that we have against him, which are, you know, uncountable and numerous, and ultimately really unpayable by us on our own. We are not able to pay that debt. Then we have to have the desire to forgive the debt of others who have wronged us, which, comparative to our debts to the Lord, are very few and small. But there is more to the impact and the effect of reconciliation. If we go to the Second Corinthian letter, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." And so the effect of forgiveness is reconciliation, being reconciled. I'm going to steal Mike's example that I've heard him use countless times through the years. When the bank sends you a bank statement and you're doing a bank reconciliation, you don't come to a middle ground and call the bank up and say, you know, let's meet on this number. No, the bank is the standard. They have much better accounting systems than you and I do, and they are generally the one that is correct. And so when we do a bank reconciliation, we are moving towards that standard. Well, that's the same thing we have here. In Christ, God is not counting our sins against us, who through him allows us to be reconciled to him. And that's what God has done for us and with us. And so when the debt that our sins has created are forgiven by him, we are now able to reestablish a relationship with him. Sin gets in the way of that relationship. And so that is the part that we sometimes struggle with, the effect of forgiveness being reconciliation with each other. And so that makes it difficult because people do hold grudges. I can forgive you, but people still hold grudges. And that's not the kind of forgiveness that we are called to have. It's not some sort of internal therapy for yourself. I forgive you. I feel better now. I doing this research, I saw an example of people think forgiveness is when someone murders maybe a family member and the person stands up in court and says, "I forgive you," but I bet they still don't want to go to lunch with that person. I mean, you know, every once in a while you do find examples of people having that, the right mind in that type of a situation, but it's not something that we should be doing just to feel better for ourselves. And it's great that you can do that, but that really isn't what forgiveness is about. It is a total erasing of the debt. It's not holding any grudges. It's not doing anything that's going to persist after you've forgiven someone. It's about restoring the relationship between the person that has offended you or sinned against you. The damage was caused by the sin, and forgiveness is able to restore that relationship. And so God has shown us over and over again that that's what forgiveness looks like. And we're commanded to forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave us. Now, this is important because it helps us understand what forgiveness truly is and why forgiveness is conditional and not an unconditional arrangement. God says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you almost forgive. And so we have to look at that. Does God forgive conditionally or unconditionally? If we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that passage reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, we read, and he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they came. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day, it turns to you seven times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And so God forgives. The way that God forgives is how we are supposed to forgive. If we seek repentance, then we have to be trusting that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. We have to have that in our relationship with him. And that is the same picture that's given in Luke 17. If a person sins against us and we bring it to their attention, or think, you know, we would hope they would realize it and come to us, but once it's known and it's discussed, and if they repent, we are to forgive them. We can't just internally say, you know what, Brother Jim really did me wrong the other day, and I'm just going to forgive him. It doesn't do the person any good if we don't go to them and have that conversation and let them know, listen, this happened, I think we need to talk about it. And only through that, by having that conversation, can really forgiveness happen. And so the reason why it's not forgiveness until we tell them is because that debt has to be paid. The canceling of the debt and the restoration of the relationship has to come about. You just saying, you know what, I'm just going to let that slide, he was having a bad, that's not how it is to be approached. And so we have to know that when we repent and we ask the Father for forgiveness, that we have to know that he will be listening and he will accept our repentance and he will erase that debt and our relationship can be restored with him. And so forgiveness is not deserved. It's not anything that we could ever earn, but it is something that we can impact. There's not a list of requirements that are given before forgiveness can take place. It's, like I said, it's restoring this broken relationship that was caused by the sin. And the reason why forgiveness really, I think, is a conditional arrangement is because both parties have to be in agreement to the forgiveness. Unless both parties want the relationship to be restored and want it the damage to be removed, they both have to acknowledge that an offense happened and that forgiveness is something that can be brought about in reconciliation. God is not merely erasing debts. He erases the debt because he wants us to be in a relationship with him. And so our repentance declares that we want to be in that relationship with him again. And so forgiveness is how that is done. And so the heart of forgiveness is the desire to restore broken relationships, whether it's with the Father or it's with each other. And so God desires that we restore those relationships. How much better this world would be if everybody followed this. Instead of holding grudges, you know, so many wars and just terrible events have happened because people holding grudges. And that's not what he wants us to be doing. And it's about recognizing the offense and restoring that relationship. And this is the kind of heart that we are to have for each other. We should want to realize that, and we should want to mend those broken relationships. And so we should strive to bring that back. And we have to understand that there is no point when any relationship that we have is fractured or destroyed beyond repair. That's the illustration that Jesus tells Peter. If he sins to you seven times, then receive it seven times. It's something that we should never, ever not be willing. That's a double negative, I understand. But, you know, there should never be a time where we are not willing to restore that relationship. If someone comes to us and says, I know I keep doing this to you, but please forgive me, we have to. There's no point where we could ever just say, I'm done. You're not someone that I want to continue to have that relationship with if they earnestly want it from you. And so we violated God's law multiple times, but we would be in a bad situation if we've all gotten to the point where God doesn't want to hear our repentance anymore. There's no limit. God will always receive us back, and we need to have that same relationship with each other. So how do we know if we are where we need to be regarding forgiveness? Well, it is a heart issue, and that's what Jesus ended the parable with in the passage that Jim read for us in Matthew 18. Verse 35 of that passage, I will read again. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's where forgiveness comes from. It's not just from the mouth. It's just not words that we say. Forgiveness has to come from inside. And so we have to ask ourselves, is there forgiveness in my heart? In the past, have I been truly forgiving of people when I've been asked and I've forgiven people? Has that really come from just words that I've said, or is it something that is inside of me? And when I have caused people pain, have I gone to them and expressed my desire to be restored, to have that relationship restored? Have I gone to them and said, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I mean, those are the things that we have to think about in the past, how we've handled those situations and respond maybe differently or in a better way going forward. And so this reveals so much about how we will be forgiven by God, how we handle forgiveness in our lives. And so do we want to fix relationships and remove the offense between us, or do I want to enjoy having that hammer that I can use when it's convenient for me to bring back into someone's life and hammer them over the head with what they've done to us 10, 20 years ago? Shelley heard about just something this morning. I won't, the details of it were, but someone asked someone to come to some kind of event and they refused because of a situation that had occurred about 20 years ago. And Shelley said, it's been 20 years. Can you not move on? Well, no, people don't do that. People hold grudges for a very long time if they don't have the proper attitude. And so it cannot happen if both parties don't want it. This person inviting, or the group that was inviting this person to come to the event, they probably had thought everything was fine, but the other person hadn't wanted that restoration, and so they declined to come. And so God shows us that this cannot happen unless we both want it, and we should be counting on it when we go to him and ask for forgiveness and come to him for repentance. And so he's done everything he can on his end to remove the barriers for that repentance and make paths for us to be able to come to him so that we can be reconciled in our relationship. Brother Cliff has the prayer, and after that we'll have a short break and we will begin with our class.